Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Planeswalkers Podcast. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my faithful sidekick companion and gentleman to my right, Aramis Perez. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm on the right, but I'm like in a corner. It's weird, but I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, bro. It's been a minute, man. I caught that flu, so, you know, and we're just going to get right into it here. So let's go ahead. Yes.
This is a good opening hand.
Yeah, this is a better opening hand than we had last week. I do apologize. We're just trying to get this thing going and to lose a week of recording just because basically I caught the plague. So
Benson had to take a mulligan.
Yeah, that was yeah. But it let me do a little things around the house and, you know, like I slept for one whole day pretty much. Well, two whole days, and then I went back to work last Friday. But wow. You know, I got my little mic stand hooked back up for my mic and stuff like that. Like it was all right, but you know, I mean, so much has happened since, you know, like we last spoke. I mean,
yeah,
dude, I went to your store, man, and now it is my store. I told you that store.
Did I not tell you that that store was absolutely awesome?
And they would love to do an interview with us. So I might make that work this week because I'm going there Friday night. So
okay,
I'm taking the Magic Club there Friday night. It's Kerwin's in Catskill, so New York. Not that I expect anyone's listening to this, but
I actually have, randomly enough, I have random tokens that I got from an order I placed. Let's see if I could just put this in front of the camera. Hey,
look at that.
But it's flipped, so you know. But anyway, yeah, Kerwin's Game Store. They're in Catskill.
Actually,
they're awesome.
Flipped to the Facebook audience. What's kind of cool is that it does flip it back for you.
Oh, so it does. So let's see that again. See that again. There. Yeah. Kerwin's Game Store. Free plug. Free advertisement.
Yes, I'm a fan. Like, dude, and not only that, but because I brought seven people to the event, like I filled the event with guys and one, you know, and well, it was like six guys and a lady, and I filled the van. So I came in. He's like, "Wow, you brought seven people. You get to play for free." I'm like, "Yes,
that's awesome." Yeah, they're good guys. They're really good guys. Yeah. The couple experiences that I've had down there have been awesome, and I won't be able to be there this Friday, but in a couple of weeks I'll be able to join you guys.
Well, that's just it. It's like I've managed, I think, because I mean, listen, my fiance, she's so wonderful, and she recognized that losing my local game stuff, my local game store, just it sucks. And I was kind of sad, and she's like, okay, you know. And plus, since they only do standard, like the old store we were going to there in Albany, I mean, it's cool and stuff, but all they do is draft, which means it is an 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock night.
Right.
And it's like, and I live an hour away from where I work. And so I'm not getting home until like 1 or 2 in the morning. So I didn't want to do that. So like this place, man, we're done by like 10 or 11.
That's not too bad.
I jot the guys off at the, you know, and it's on the way, like where we work is on the way to my house. So it's just nicer. And it's so I'm home by like midnight, which is, you know,
which is still late.
Yeah, but she's cool with it because it's also like I'm always going to go on the off weeks of the kids if I do this. So she's kind of like, you know, it's all right. You can have this. So, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to ride this train. I'm going to try to ride it for a while.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I built a pretty sick deck. So what's been going on with you?
Really, magic-wise, as far as the physical cardboard's concerned, not much because I haven't had a chance to go to a store since the pre-release. But I've received in the mail my shock land, so I have all the land, so my mana base is fine.
Yeah, I need some of those, man, especially for what I'm building. So
I'm probably, to be honest, when we go in 2 weeks, I'm either going to bring Turbo Fog or Mono Blue Tempo because those are the cards I have.
Turbo rode me pretty well. I was able to ride that pretty good.
Yeah, I might end up going with the Turbo Fog. It's just it's a matter of finding what build I want to do. That's something we'll be talking on tonight.
Yeah, our topics tonight are going to be, you know, there's some magic news that's happened in the last 2 weeks, and I think our combat phase is what we're really working on building. So I mean that's where we can duke that out.
But I have been playing a lot of Arena. I've been doing a lot of drafting.
What are your levels at? What are you at now? Because I went back down to Silver. So
After the reset, I finished the last season at Platinum 2. Unconstructed, and I just got I think at a gold 4 or gold 3 on on limited. I'm back up into gold on limited. I haven't really played any constructed as to speak of. I've been trying to really just figure out the limited format.
Limited is tough for me. I haven't been able to do it. Like, you got to twitch that, man, because I need to see some drafting. So
I have not had very much luck either. I'm ranking up a little bit, but it's so, like, for instance, last night I drafted a ridiculous Rakdos deck. I mean, it had Spawn of Mayhem. It had like two of the 1/2 Death Touch guys with Afterlife. It had, you know, good removal, a great curve. I think I had like 7 Death Touch creatures in the deck.
Cool.
Two and three. I happened to play two other Rakdos decks. One of them had Rakdos. The other one had Judith. So what am I going to do?
I have opened a ton of Judiths. I've got 3 or 4 now.
She is ridiculous.
And I'm kind of almost tempted to put her into a deck. I haven't figured out where she fits. And I mean, I've been mainly playing. I mean, I play a little Arena, especially when I was sick. I was playing quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But since the reset last week, I got to be honest. I mean, last weekend we had the kids, so I couldn't play much. And then this week it's just been wall to wall nuts. So it's like, and Wendy's been sick, so I've been playing, you know, Dr. Will and not from Big Brother. Sorry, that's I think that's actually a trademark name. We didn't mean that, sir. I'm not on Big Brother, although I would love to be. And
that's gonna be a no for me, dog.
But we had a thing. So I'm hoping to get in some playing because, I mean, again, it's kind of where I learned to build the deck I'm currently working on building. I mean, I need the Shockland, so I need white and black. I need one more Watery Grave. I could really use the Checklands from Dominaria. So, I mean, because it's the deck I'm building is 3-color, which, you know, we'll talk about that again. Man, everybody's building 3-color now. I mean, because you've got the mana base, but, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of great.
That was my whole strategy going into buying singles for the set was that, I mean, the rares and mythics that go into whatever decks are going to change from week to week.
Right.
The mana base is going to be the mana base. If you don't have good mana, you can't cast your spells if you can't pay for them.
You're not wrong. So, yeah, well, and that's just it. Well, in this deck, and again, I want to save it. I mean, I might be a little okay because, I mean, and we could talk about that too. We'll talk about that in combat because one of the things I want to mention is the mana base because there is almost value, in my opinion now, of playing some basic, and we could talk about that.
Okay,
but you know what, why don't we just I mean, we've kind of caught up, so again, we're going to be going back to a weekly cycle here, and we're going to really step up our streaming and stuff like that. I mean, I really want this to take off, but let's just go right into main phase here. So
do it.
Main phase. All right, so what we want to talk about today is that last week Wizards in their infinitesimal, you be the judge, wisdom, They outlined the new format for what was once the Pro Tour and is now the Mythic Invitational, not to be confused with the Mythic Championships or the Mythic, you know, cards. Or they've kind of gone a little Mythic crazy, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, just something to keep in mind is that the Mythic Invitational doesn't count as one of these championships.
Right, it's championships. Like an exhibition. Yeah, it's an exhibition,
yeah.
I should say.
But still, yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that it. Oh, well, we'll edit that later. I don't mean to say that it's like it's replacing the Pro Tour. That's what the Mythic Championship is doing.
Yeah,
but I mean it. And so they came out with it. They came out to kind of how they're doing this. It's their. I think what they're trying to do is dip their toe into the esports arena. So I mean, I found out some information. Basically, what it is that it is I do believe it's a 64 player field. 30,
yes.
The 32 MPL players will be in.
Minus one.
Yes.
Minus the one.
Yep. 24 high profile streamers.
Yep.
And then the top eight arena ranked constructed players, which, let's be honest, folks, ain't anybody probably listening to this podcast.
Not unless you go on one kind of a ridiculous run, but in which case, more power to you, my friend.
That. It is not even that. I am pretty sure that. And I mean, we can definitely, you know, let's get into this. This is what Maine's about. I'm annoyed by this. I think, first of all, Arena is still technically beta.
Yes, that is
and
true.
You are making this event where somebody can win $250,000. And the way that the dreamer gets in is winning at your beta software.
Yes, although it sort of seems to be, I mean, I guess this is my somewhat lack of knowledge in how video games work these days. I used to play a lot. I don't play nearly as much now, but a lot of games are kind of in perpetual beta, right?
No, there is stability because there have been issues with, I mean, take it out of beta then. Like, you know, when a beta is considered testing, it's really, basically beta allows you to say, you know, hey, you know, sorry you lost money with the gems, but we're still in beta. So, oops. You know, it gives them, whereas, especially if you're going from a free to play or a paywall or freemium or whatever you want to call this system.
Right.
You know, you're taking people's hard earned money and you're putting it into a beta system. And now you're actually deciding an esport championship based on your beta system. And they've gone through and I could probably put in the show notes, the press release, they talk about the fact that you may look like you're in the top eight, but they won't really know who the top eight are until they magically, whatever time of day they decide to shut off the top eight, and then they'll let you all know. So you could be looking at it, and let's face it, to be top eight, you've got to play probably, I'm going to say 16 hours a day. It's going to be a job.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, professional Magic is kind of a job to begin with, and right. They're kind of pushing towards the direction of they want the people in the pro league to basically be pros because they're now paying them money just to play.
We're not saying that's the pro league. We're talking the win to get in guys. Joe Schmo loaded it up on his brand new Asus and is playing the game and he wants to go to this Mythic Invitational. He wants to sit across the table from Reed Duke. The only way to do it is going to be to basically play and win probably at least 50% of your matches. You know, 16 hours a day, and damn it, you better Twitch.
Because no, your win percentage has got to be much higher than 50% if you want to get Mythic top eight.
Yeah, I know, but the point I'm making is that, and then to not have a standardized, to not have a leaderboard that I can go look at and say, okay, I'm number nine. I really need to step this up, or you know, it looks like when they shut it down. Oh my god, I'm number eight. This is amazing. They shut it off. I'm number eight. Look at this. I've got it. I've screenshotted it. I'm tweeting it. I'm Twitched. This is amazing. And then Wizard goes and says, well, at the exact same time in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, you know, Michael J. Millenhaus decided he was actually top eight because he just beat somebody. And sorry, you're number nine and damn good on you. Like, it just seems like this is not a way to be able to do this in such a way that seems fair. And it's not repeatable. It's not, you know, it's vaporware right now, really, is what it is.
I will say that when they're saying top eight Mythic constructed, it's a little bit of a misnomer because it's going to be the top eight after all those other automatic invitations are put into effect. Because I know for a fact that Kenji Igashira, Numat the Nummy, who's one of the ones who was invited, his limited ranking, he was Mythic number two. So if you put that into consideration, say that was his constructed rating at the time of the Invitational, obviously it would drop down to whoever's number nine if there was nobody else there.
I gotta figure they probably sent an email out to like the people that were invited and said, hey, stay out of ranked. Like play in the constructed, play in competitive play, like test your decks. Go ahead, go to town, but you know, for this month, I mean, I got to figure the MPL is they're not going to care about rankings.
Well, I think what they're going to do is they'll be able to see when Wizards does their cut, they'll see who's in those rankings and they'll say, okay, you know, Reed Duke's number seven. Well, he's already invited.
And yeah, that's code. Like they could sit there and say Reed Duke's number one, but he's on this list. It's a coding thing. It's an if then statement. If this person, if A string equals Reed Duke, don't show it. So he may be number one, but he's not number one.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean,
he'll be number one in the rankings, but he won't be listed as one of the ones that gets invited based on that criteria.
Right. It's honestly, why didn't you have a play-in? Why didn't you have a tournament style every weekend and have play-ins? Like
a PTQ almost?
Yeah. Almost like an online PPTQ.
The problem with that, the problem is that Arena's not set up for that yet.
Yeah, I know.
It's not set up for that, because if you think about it, you don't even have live drafts on Arena.
I know, and they really need that. But it just, there's so much in MTGO that Arena needs to pick up. Besides, not just the card base. Everybody says the card base. But things like of that nature, a two-headed giant would be nice, you know. But in any event,
I don't see any multiplayer coming to Arena anytime soon because of the way the client is built. I think what you'll see is eventually they'll get to the point where they might be able to actually host tournaments. Right now, the whole premise of Arena is a quick game.
This is what I found out. Okay, because it's in our notes. Because I wrote the notes the other night. We were going to try to record. I said, is this event going to be tabletop or is it like sitting at laptops playing Arena?
It's just tabletop.
Not. No, I talked to MTG Nerd Girl, and because I follow her on Twitch, cool person. And no, she told us, like, she's like, nope, we're playing Arena. So they are going to this event in Boston and there will be rows of laptops or desktops, and they will be probably, it's an eSport. They're trying to do the eSport thing. So, I mean, the odds are good. They'll have branded the headphones. They'll have branded the chairs. They'll let people wear like sponsor stuff, but that would be the only way to do Arena. Cause I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, listen, if I'm playing an Arena tournament at home and Twitch is, you know, and Magic wants to put it on Twitch, I got two monitors. I got a laptop sitting in front of me. I mean, I'll take a picture of how we're recording tonight. It's like, it'd be very easy for me to sit on Twitch going, all right, Aramis has got a duress.
Yeah.
I need to save that counterspell.
Yes, you know, just sit there and ghost them. Yeah, I hear you.
So, I mean, so that was the first thing I thought of. But, I mean, the fact that they are making them go to Boston, they're going to sit down and they're going to e-sport it. Okay, on one hand, I'm going to be very interested to see the coverage of this. I think it's going to provide, like, it's going to be nice to see people's faces, to see what they have in their hand. I imagine they're going to, when they stream it, it'll probably be some sort of dual screen so we can see hands and stuff.
Absolutely.
But it just, and so it is Arena. So they have to be coming up with the way to do the tournament style. Like, that's because you need to do it for this. I mean, don't get me wrong, with the format they're using, and we're going to that next. You know, they may not need to do the tournament style. They just may need to do the whole, like, challenge each other.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, now that I think about it, that's probably exactly what they're going to do, is they're going to do the challenge style format, because you're not going to be sideboarding anyway, so you don't need to worry about the whole intermission between games. You just sit there, switch your deck, re-challenge the person, and they're doing these 16-player flights. Yeah. So, you know, you can, you know, they'll tell you, okay, you're challenging John Finkel this round.
Well, and that's just it. Let's get into that. I mean, the duo standard system format, they're calling it duo standard.
Duo standard.
Oh, what a piece of crap. I'm sorry. I don't
really
negative. I don't like it. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. Well, let me explain first what it is. Duo standard is this. You come with two decks.
Yes.
There's no sideboard. It is a 60 card deck, 75 if you're running cards like Masterminds, Inquisition, and stuff that use sideboard cards.
Right.
But for the most part, you come with two decks. They can be any two standard legal decks. And they could be the same deck. If you if you want to run Turbo Fog and you think that this Turbo Fog's gonna win you every BO1, go to town. Because it is, it's best of one match. The way it does is this: they randomly draw one of your decks.
For game one.
First game. Yep. And randomly draw who goes first, I guess.
Yes.
And then basically they play those decks. And then game two, you use the other deck. And the other guy who didn't go first goes first.
Mm-hmm.
Whether win or lose, he gets to go first. Game three, pick your own deck, and I think the loser gets to go first.
I think it's random again.
Is it random again?
I think if it goes to game three, I think the whoever goes first is random. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, but you get to choose your deck.
I believe you get to choose your deck for game three. Yeah.
And I can't help looking at this going, first of all, and I guess why I don't like this is that I can't help thinking this is where Wizards wants to go. They're going to try to find a way to make best of one less of a bitter pill to swallow. And I don't necessarily know how I feel about that.
I don't think best of three is necessarily going anywhere. I think it's going to be just another format. Like, you know, some tournaments are modern, some tournaments are vintage. There's going to be some tournaments that are duo standard.
Because it's a different
metagame.
It is. And Arena is different. And there, you know, we'll talk about that too in some of the, in some of the news there for part two. I mean, one of the things that I'm hearing rumblings about is, you know, bannings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, I mean, it just, this duo standard thing, it just, first of all, I mean, it's kind of still a crapshoot. I mean, it would seem to me that you would go with, you know, maybe a mono red for the aggro or mono blue for, mm-hmm. you know, for that. And then something like Turbo Fog or Jeskai control or Esper control or Sultai mid-range, something like that. Like, I don't think you're going to see a lot of mid-range. I think it's going to be pretty much like aggro or some sort of control.
Yeah, or some combo deck like Nexus.
Right. Well, and then I consider Nexus now to be control. I really do.
It's kind of
a control deck.
It's slow. Well, it's slow enough to where it could be like a control deck, but it kind of, the way that it goldfishes games, the way it seems to goldfish games, it tends to be more towards the combo-y end of it. Because, you know, the best case scenario starts going off on turn five.
Right.
And if he starts doing that, there's really not a whole lot that you can do. So I don't know. I think that the best of one for the duo standard, it's a different format. So it's going to have its own pluses and minuses. But overall, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
But in any event, notice here, first of all, Pamela Perez is saying we're doing a great job with the show up until just now.
Yeah. Instant sabotage.
Yeah. And let me get, how do I get rid of her? Click that again. All right, cool. We're good to go. Oh, and by the way, Miss Sonia was on too. So hi. She gave us a thumbs up. All right.
I can see that.
Back to the talk. I see what you're saying with that. I think it's going to be some sort of combo, or somebody is just going to be like, screw it, foot on the gas, red, red, or red, blue, both aggro decks, and be like, you know, just
switch things up a little bit. Yeah. Coming to you in a different angle. I could totally see that. I mean, but I think that's probably one of the worst things about it is that it's a different format. Doesn't necessarily mean it's good or bad, but it does sort of limit the kind of archetypes you can play, because mid-range just kind of gets outclassed in a best of one because it's more reliant on your draws and your sideboarding, which you can't do in this format.
True.
So, I don't know. We just have to wait and see, like I said.
I totally can agree with you on that. It is. I look at a lot of what's going on with this, and I can't help thinking to myself that we're going to see, I mean, I can't help like the future of Magic and like moving to this esport. And I mean, a lot of things are changing. We're going to talk about in our second main phase, like GP coverage and how Wizards and WotC wants to handle that.
GP coverage. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. And so I can't help looking at that and then looking at what they're doing here. And the fact that this invitational is 100% arena and not paper, it's disconcerting to somebody who's been here almost since day one.
I'll say this. I can see what Wizards is doing. They want to push arena because they know that's the future of at least digital Magic. I know they have no intention of stopping the paper game. And I really don't think that, I don't think that opinion is going to change as you're taking a screen selfie.
For the website. It's a way to bring attention to it. Nice, nice.
Well, you got your screen. You're like, here's my phone. I'm going to take
a
picture. Now.
I'm going to take a selfie. Yeah. Shut up. You know you like it.
Yeah. Good job. Well.
Go on.
Anyway, I think that they're pushing Arena. They want to show that, hey, even though we're in beta, look at what we can do. Look at all the shiny bells and whistles. Somebody just won $250,000 playing Arena. Don't you want to play Arena? Download today.
Exactly. And I get that. And the whole esport thing, I get it. I'm in. But it just, you know. I just can't help thinking that
The biggest problem is the fact that Wizards doesn't tell us anything.
Yes, that's part of it. It'd be one thing if they said, hey, this is where we're going, and Paper Magic, you know, get in while you can. But obviously they don't want to kill their profit margin there.
No.
But it is a little disconcerting. And I think, honestly, Wizards isn't telling us because they want to keep their options open.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, though. GP New Jersey sold out.
Yeah,
it sold out. So
and a limited, by the way.
It was a limited
tournament.
Yeah, it was a limited GP, and it sold out. So I would, if I was Wizards.
That should have been the one we went to.
Yeah. Well, it was too short notice for everything that was going on. But
yeah, of course.
Wizards, if they have a brain anywhere in that department, in their R&D or in their executive, whatever, if anybody there has any sort of intelligence, they would see that. Yeah. They would see that and say, okay, good. The paper game is healthy. It's healthier than it's ever been. We freaking sold out a limited GP. Granted, it was a brand new set.
True.
But some of the other things that they're doing that we're going to be talking about later makes you go, wow, you guys are dumb.
Yeah. And so, don't get me wrong. I'll be watching that Mythic Invitational because Lord knows I won't be playing in it.
Yeah.
I will. I do want to see how the coverage goes. And we'll talk about that in main phase too, you know, because I want to see like the changes there, but I'll watch. I want to see.
It's this. Yeah. Fingers really crossed.
That's kind of how that's how WotC is though. Mm-hmm. WotC's always been that way. And, you know, I shouldn't say that. Since Hasbro took over, when the guys who built it were running the show, it was something. And then Hasbro just, man, anyway, I don't want to be negative. I'm trying really hard not to be negative.
Just give it a chance. Just give it a chance.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. I'm not going to get there and climb on the bandwagon that everybody's climbing on as far as the 24 people that qualify just for being good Twitch people. You know what? Yeah, that grows the brand.
It's obvious why they invited those people.
Right. And some people I watch, like I said, MTG mm-hmm. Nerd Girl, kind of a great cast to watch. You know, I watch her every couple of, you know, if I'm sitting there and I'm bored and it is, we have to make interesting shows. I got to start working on our stream a little bit. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to pump music through. She's pumping like old 80s jams. I'm like, wow, I'm just going to put the Weezer Teal album on repeat.
And here's the thing for all the haters, the people who are like you said, jumping on the bandwagon and going crazy about they brought this person, they brought that person in. It's an invitational. They can invite whoever they want. Obviously they're looking to say, here's our pro league, minus the one guy who cheated, and here's our streamers, and then here's your chance to get in. The fact that they even opened it up to technically anyone,
right?
They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to do that.
So how come you're not building? Then how come you're not going for the ranked?
I just haven't started yet. I haven't started the grind,
dude. I think you'd have to be like, I think you'd have to be almost.
I would have had to have already started platinum just to start the grind.
Yeah, just because, I mean, the Mythic is just going to get stupid.
I don't think I honestly don't think I'm good enough to get to the Mythic Invitational because there's only those 8 slots. Once they finally announce how you can qualify for the Mythic Championships, I think that'll be where my shot comes in.
And I think that's where the PPTQ stuff is going to try to come in. And no doubt in my mind that this duo standard format that they're using for this event is for them to kind of also get the idea in our heads, because I'm almost sure that if they do a PPTQ, this is how they'll do it. That'll be the format.
And I think also what it does, something that it does is, I don't want to say it dumbs it down because that's too strong of a term, but it does make it more accessible to players who don't quite have that level of time / commitment / strategic know-how, because sideboarding is hard.
It is.
Sideboarding is very hard.
Dude, the Kerwin event, like we can talk about that real quick. Like when I went to last week or 2 weeks ago and I played Turbo Fog, like there were 11 guys playing. So when I'm sitting there choosing my deck, I'm like, and I even asked her, I said, really, let me ask you a question for standard. Like how many people are playing meta? And he's like, well, we got like one or two. And like, there's 11 people. We brought 8. So I'm like, okay, I know my people. Not very many meta. I'm going to roll there, and I roll them regularly with Nexus, so this is good. The other two people I played that were not with us, one guy was playing Mono Blue, and believe it or not, I rolled him twice.
Well, that's one of those situations where
Oh, he misses draws.
That's, yeah. If Mono Blue misses their draws and you give Turbo Fog any kind of time, you're dead.
Well, and I sideboarded in. I sideboarded very well for that matchup. I sideboarded in three cleansing Novas. I sideboarded in removal, and I took out. I took out one of the growth spirals. I took out the root snares and stuff because I'm like, you're never going to come at me unless it's the djinn for anything more than three or four at a time.
Right.
So I took out a few of the that stuff, and I actually brought in another Krasis. So, and I've got seven of those now, by the way. I love it.
I might need to borrow a couple from you if I bring Turbo Fog to the tournament because I actually don't have any.
Yeah, we can discuss that because I need Chocolands. So so I played that, and then so I went. They played four rounds. I played one of our guys, RO. We'll just say, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And
what did he do?
His lovely vampire deck. And so game one, I take it pretty quickly. Oh, no, wait, no. Game one. Yeah. Game one, I take it pretty quickly. Game two, he takes it. We go to game three and he literally was just able to run the clock out, really, is what it was. I mean, he got rid of my board. Got rid of my board state. So I was like, okay, this is cool. We're good. Game two, I played T. He worked in the culinary area. I played this guy, Austin. We'll just say it. I'll make up a name. I played him, and I rolled him like it was my job. Then turn three, I played Mono Blue and managed to get those two wins out pretty quickly, actually. And then I played a Mono Black. Game one, rolled him. Game two, he rolled me. I sideboarded in game three because I didn't sideboard in game one because I'm like, well, I got you pretty good. And he didn't sideboard either. Game three, I actually started to sideboard in a lot more of my removal and stuff. But by then it was too late. I got mana screwed. So, I mean, Turbo Fog can roll. But
yeah, it's not, like I said, it's not. It's not a
key. That's the point I was trying to make.
And that's something that you don't get without practice. And unfortunately, with the way Arena is structured, it's hard to get that kind of practice. And although they did recently fix that, and now you can do ranked best of three.
Yes, which, I saw that. And I may start playing more than that. Yeah,
because that actually, again, it's a different metagame than best of one. Because certain cards that you'll see in best of one just don't really happen in the best of three format because it's different.
Mono Red's top tier in best of one. There's
it's
no
still very
it.
Good. In
it is still very good. Well, skewer the critics and light up the stage, put Mono Red back, you know, in the top five again. But yeah. I mean, and don't forget, after Guilds of Ravnica, it went down to like tier 1.8 ish.
Yeah.
So
it's still the third most popular deck in Standard right now, according to MTG Goldfish.
Right.
It's 10% of the metagame.
Yep. And I dig it, and I think it's kind of great. But you know, sideboarding is key to that, and I really would like to do more of it. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to Friday night. And in fact, I'll tell you what I'm going to play. We'll go into combat so I can talk about that a little bit. Let's go into the combat phase.
Okay.
Combat phase.
Okay, combat phase.
Of course, we always like to know it. I win again.
Oh, stop it. You know what? You never lose well. Well, what we're going to talk about tonight is, all right, so we're about 2.5 weeks now into the new standard.
Yeah.
So really, what should people be building? And we could kind of talk arena and paper. I mean, you kind of told me a little bit about what you're building, but what do you think people should be building now? I'm going to let you go first this time.
Well, I think a lot of that is going to depend on your local metagame. True. It's gonna depend on your play style.
So we're talking paper first.
We're talking paper first. It depends on your local metagame, your play style, obviously your budget.
I mean, let's say money's no object. I mean,
if money's no object, Friday Night Magic. If it's best of three, you probably can't go wrong with Sultai Midrange.
Really? I don't disagree with that.
Or Esper Control.
Which is what I'm building.
Yeah.
I am, and for Friday night, I'm really trying to go nuts on it. I got to get some Shocklands. I got everything else but the land base.
Because here's my thinking about that, and this is based off of how the last couple of weeks have gone. The Boogeyman hasn't shown up yet.
No, he hasn't.
The Boogeyman is Wilderness Reclamation Turbo Fog. it's there, but it's sort of still sort of, it's that nightmare you had the night before. It's in the back of your mind, but you can't quite shake it, but you know, it's just a dream. It's not real.
Well, yeah. Here's what I think is going to happen with that. Let's talk about that for a second, because what I'm really starting to see, and I'm still starting to wonder, is, and I saw somebody play a deck like this and it played pretty well, moving away from Bant in as far as Nexus goes, and moving more towards Simic and taking out Teferi. Because again, if you have Wilderness Reclamation, Teferi becomes kind of superfluous. I mean, he's you get to exile their board eventually if you can get him ultimated.
Yeah, he's your win con usually.
Kind of. But I mean, the problem is if you're playing paper, 9 times out of 10, there's a timer. So you can't just keep rolling, which is what I was doing. I was rolling. We went to turns. I was rolling Nexus and I got down to 5 turns and I took all 5 turns, but it was like, holy crap. I had no win con. I couldn't get the creatures I needed. The point I'm making with that though is, so with a time constraint on that, when you're playing paper, that, and I think that's the problem with Nexus right now. I think bringing it in, I don't know this, I haven't done this yet, but I'm thinking about trying it, because I've obviously, if I'm building Esper Control, I've pulled my Teferis out of that deck. I've pulled quite a few things out of that deck. As far as Search for Iskantas, maybe a couple Charter Courses. Actually, I don't have Charter Course, but my Search is for Iskantas. So I'm left with kind of a Simic-y deck, and I'm kind of wondering how it can play. I wonder then, if you're playing Simic, we might be able to introduce something like a Carnage Tyrant, and you definitely are going to be able to introduce Hydroid Crisis, and moving more towards Simic, and maybe also some light control.
I'm thinking if you're playing Nexus, your two main options are either going to be still Bant, going with the Teferi, but using Hydroid Crisis as your win condition, or going into Teemer and going for Expansion Explosion.
Right, and I did do that. I mean, I had, the first game I won with the mono black. I mean, that's how I won it. Was I basically got to turn like 12 or 13, and I had like 17 lands out. And I'm like, hey, look at this. I'm going to expand, explode you. I'll explode you for 10, spend 2 more, and explode you for 10 again. And I'll also let you draw 20 cards so that you mill yourself out.
You see, when I'm playing it on Arena, I usually have like 2 or 3 Wilderness Reclamations out. And I'm like, explosion you for 37?
Yeah, there's that too. Well, that's what I did. I mean, expanding and exploding it, I'd already hit him for 20. And, I think we're still on. It's broadcast still going. Great.
Yep, we're good.
There is that. I mean, God, you're not showing up on my screen though. That's kind of
weird. I can see both of us.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking on the what do you call it screen. Let's do this. I'm gonna add a poll just for kicks. All right. So, I mean, I don't know. It's something I've been thinking about.
Okay.
So, it's something I've been thinking about as far as going Simic. Another deck I've built in paper because it was really good in Arena, and I love doing, I love the fact that it's kind of a cheap deck, is I've started building the Gate deck. The four color gates.
Yep,
that's a real deck.
It's real, and it's
other than Hydroid, you could build that deck for less than $100 and hang.
Yeah, well, I mean, does it play the Ram?
It does play the Ram.
Four Gate Crasher
Colossus or whatever it's called. And then Circuitous Route is the key to that deck. You need 4 of those. Mm-hmm. And you run those 12 cards with a bunch of gates and some basics. And then what I run is 2 of the gold land there that basically gives you life for if you have 2 or more gates.
Oh, the Plaza of Harmony.
Yeah. And then the angel there that gives you 2 life for every gate you control. So you play it on turn 12. It's like, okay, here's 24 light.
Well, here's the list that I'm looking at right now on Goldfish. It's actually Gates Nexus.
Yeah, I saw that too. I did see that, and I've thought about putting it together. I actually threw a few Nexus into the deck last night for we were at club and we played it. We did Two-Headed Giant, and I played that, and our friend L played I gave him a Golgari, like the Golgari precon, and he's kind of been playing around with it.
Right.
And so he was playing with me, and I was playing against two Orzhovs, one for taxing and one for, trying to go wide. We rolled them. I think the score, we were at a life of like 123 to, he was down to like 28 when we had to quit because he ran out of time. Chris and Mike did. So, but I mean, I'm just like this deck, and really when I look at it, it's mostly common lands and uncommon cards, except for Krasis and a few other little things that rares that can make it run. I love that deck for the club. I really do. I keep telling everybody, I'm like, guys, you can build this deck cheap. Like, and you will hang Friday night. I guarantee you'll hang.
Yep. It's just learning.
You may not win.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's learning having to play with lands that always come into play tapped.
Yes.
You know, basically the understanding that you're always kind of going to be a turn behind, but the threats that you play are, you know, 3-mana 10/10 trample vigilance.
Right. I mean, but just it is a really great, like, I'm liking it.
And it's a testament to Wizards with the way that they've built this standard format that a deck like, you know, the Gates deck has always kind of been a thing whenever you go to Ravnica. This time it's actually real and it's actually good.
Right. So I'm hoping, like, I and so that's my backup. If I can't get the shock lands, I may roll the Gate deck, but I'm also kind of thinking I might let somebody play my Gate deck and take out the Krasis, obviously. But, you know, I'm kind of thinking like to do something similar to that, because at the end of the day, it's just, you know, yeah, I want to do something really fun. And I kind of like the thought of them having it. I love Esper Control. I've been playing in an arena. I've lost, I think, 4 times. Like, I mean, it seems of the decks that are out there, it seems the absolute most stable.
Yeah, it rose to prominence after the first week of Sultai Midrange being all over the place.
Right.
And it's really established itself. I mean, Thought Erasure is my least favorite card ever.
Right
now. I hate it. but it's an extremely good card. I mean, 2-mana to basically get whatever you want out of their hand and you get to surveil. It's a great bargain. It's a very powerful card. There's always basically like an audible groan whenever someone plays it against me, because it's like, oh, I know where this is going. I'm not casting any spells this game, am I?
And that's kind of how it feels. It's a little,
it's very depressing.
It is, but that's just it. I you know me, I like to play those decks. And it's not just what you and it doesn't stop. What I love about it is I'm playing more of the version of it that's not really keeping you from getting spells out. It's keeping you from playing them. Like, oh look, let's play the black that destroys your creature. Or, hey, look, Cleansing Nova. Or, hey, look, Vraska's Contempt. Or, look, Teffy's out. Hey.
Answers.
It's all answers. It's a deck of answers. And it's been the most stable deck I've played as far as it's almost Temur Energy-ish as far as the stability of it. Now, the thinking, all right, I'm trying to get the Shocklands. And then I started thinking about this, though. The thing about it is that, you know, it still could die to things like Assassin's Trophy or anything else that makes you go look for lands. But I think Assassin's Trophy is seeing a resurgence because of all the shock lands and because we now have a full boat. Not many people are playing basic. You may have one or two or three, but for the most part, you're playing duels and shocks.
See, when I'm building my decks, I tend to say 12 shocks at the most.
Right.
Then you throw in some check lands, and then from there you throw in some basics. I usually have like maybe 6 to 10 basic lands.
Right.
Depending on the mana base. But yeah, I had definitely seen those decks where it looks like a modern deck because it's non-basics galore.
Right. And so I think like I'm thinking about tomorrow, like for Friday, I think I am going to go with, you know, I'm going to get a couple of more. I got to get at least one or two of the black whites, and I definitely need one or two of the hollow fountains. But I don't know that I'm going to go too crazy because, again, I think I'm going to see a lot of, you know, removal that lets me, you know, thinking like, hey, I get to, you got to go search for basics and you don't have any. Wait, no, black, you know, and I don't know. And plus, if you're playing white weenie, like that's the problem. If you're playing white weenie, like that's another deck that's really, really good. Mm-hmm. And white weenie will make you pay for those shock lands.
Yeah.
Losing two life to bring something in untapped. White weenie will take advantage of that.
Never mind mono red.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on mono red.
Mono red's like, oh, you played a shock land and you pay the two life. Okay. So you're 18. So, okay. We're going to do this. All right. You're 12. And it's turn one.
Yeah.
Well, actually, another deck that's actually sort of on the rise very quickly and sort of coming back now is it Drake's?
Totally agree.
Terramander was a great addition to that deck.
Yes, he was. And take a look. Miss Hall says hello. This happened today at work. So you're all like, do you play Magic? Literally, that's how I started the conversation. Oh, do you play Magic? So it was a good day. But, you know, it's one of those things that I don't know. I'm looking forward to Friday night to taking the gang there and seeing what they're doing. I mean, you know how our club goes. I mean, they're brewers. And they're learning to brew. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but you know, you've got, you know, C there, CO, who's just, he makes decks that are somewhat decent. And then he's like, I only need what? 17 lands. I'll be fine. And then, you know, you got MG who built a very similar deck, but his deck is a little bit more stable. He scares me, you know, and RO is still living and dying by that vampire deck, man. He's all about it.
I appreciate his persistence, and he's not a bad player. He knows how to pilot that deck.
No, and he does. And like I said, he held me back. Now, and that's why I'm kind of hoping too. I'm like, I think my Esper control deck, if I can get that going.
I think that's the biggest reason I'll probably end up with running Turbo Fog in a couple of weeks is only because I have the most experience with that deck.
Right.
And I'm the most comfortable with it. I know how to play the deck. The hardest part with me, again, will be just the sideboarding, but that's something I can, you know, over the next couple of weeks, I'll have a chance to test it out, take a look at a couple of different builds, see what sideboard works, and then go from there. I mean, I don't have some of the paper versions of these cards. Like, I don't have enough Lyra Dawnbringers. I don't have the Carnage Tyrants. I don't have the Hydroid Krasis.
Wait a second. They're sideboarding in Tyrant and Lyra?
There's the one list that I was looking at had three Lyras in the sideboard. And
We can talk. I've got two. So
where was it?
Well,
had a Krasis in the sideboard, had three Lyras in the sideboard. I know I have a Lyra, but I don't have the Krasis, and they're $36 right now.
Yeah, and I'm so lucky I bought them when I did. I bought two of them for $16 a piece.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Oh, no, I'm tempted to sell them now, but I'd only get $16 back. But here's what I think, you know. So I'm gonna say this for our combat phase. If you have the means, Esper control, you cannot go wrong. And you're saying Nexus.
Yeah, but anything that you choose, the unfortunate thing is you can't just build this deck and either one of these decks and stroll into an FNM and do well. You got to know how to play them.
Right.
You got to know how to play because these decks all have these subtleties to them. Like mono red is a great choice if you're just going to pick it up and run it in. It's not that it's not complicated. It's just there are fewer difficult decisions to make with a deck like mono red or mono blue. I would actually say if you're going to go into a tournament blind, go with mono red because mono blue is actually deceptively difficult to play.
Right. And I don't disagree with you there. I mean, the complexity and all of that is, you know, it's there, and that's just it. My backup plan is going to be my gate deck because I've been playing it. I've been playing it online. I've been playing it against, you know, the club. I like the way it rolls. I do like bringing out, you know, an 8/8 creature for nothing. Just like, and you know, and drawing card. If you get the guild summon out, so every time I play a guild gate, I'm drawing a card, and it's like, oh, I drew another 8/8. Oh, sure, I'll bring him out too.
It's definitely a really fast clock.
Yeah. it takes about 4 or 5 turns, but I got into this discussion with somebody online and I was like, listen, the gate deck, they're like, well, it takes you like 4 or 5 turns. I'm like, but that's the meta right now. Unless you are playing mono blue, mono red, the meta is, even with Sultai, 4 or 5 rounds. I mean, yes, they can get out a few wild growth walkers in Sultai.
Yeah.
But for them to really start throwing things at you, it takes 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. And then once you drop that first ram, suddenly the attacks stop because they're going into a gigantic wall that, by the way, has vigilance. So it's going to come back and hit you in the face.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. So it's I'm very glad
I won. Exists. I'm going to say I won this one, though. I think the Esper control over, you know, Nexus is true. I think most people will play control over Nexus anyway. And mostly because if you play Arena, you hate Nexus. Unless you're playing it.
I think people hate Nexus in general because it's the closest thing to KCI that exists.
All right. Well, let's go into main phase 2 then.
Main phase.
All right. So we wanted to end tonight and start winding things down here. We want to talk about what happened a few weeks ago in Jersey. Tournament coverage. Apparently there was great. There was a Star City Games event, which was wonderful. It was the standard event.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're throwing a GP in New Jersey. And there was, and when I say no coverage, I don't mean video. There was no coverage.
Nothing.
No Twitter, no Twitch, no Twins.
Somebody tweeted Wizards saying, hey, you know, when can I see coverage or can I see top 8 deck list? Da, 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 da. And their response is basically, we're not doing coverage anymore.
Yeah. Of GPs.
What? And again, I have to remind you guys, this GP sold out.
Yes. Well, I mean, and this is the thing is that, you know, and I listened to another podcast earlier this week. It was on the MTG Goldfish. And I totally agree with them. Is that, you know, I think what we all thought when we heard $10 million going towards Arena was $10 million new dollars is going towards Arena. I think what's happened here is that they've said $10 million is going towards Arena, but we're really just going to shuffle the money we were spending on Twitch and paying those correspondents and the Twitter and this and that and the other thing and apparently trophy makers. And we're going to put it over there.
The trophy thing was something else. The trophy thing was a different situation. I guess what happened with that, I think that was a snafu on Channel Fireball's side where there was a shipment issue. It didn't get there in time. So they had a placeholder trophy, I guess, from last year somehow, randomly. Yeah,
somebody brought a trophy with them, which immediately made me wonder, like, when I heard that, I'm like, okay, you don't just randomly bring your, like, who's packing for a GP and going, I think I'll bring my trophy. Like,
gotta bring my trophy.
I might run into a girl who apparently thinks magic trophies are hot.
Well, how intimidating would it be is if you sit across the table from the guy you're playing for round one, he sits down and just goes, thunk. There's my GP trophy from last year. You ready, son?
It's basically what we like to call a dick move. But
yeah.
I definitely think what they did was, I think they did, they shuffled finances. And I mean, to their defense, Channel Fireball, and I mean, they catch a lot of flack, mm-hmm. mostly deserved. Mm-hmm. Channel Fireball has graciously decided to step up and do the Twitter, which is it's good. I mean, again, Watsy,
nothing.
It's your event. It's your Magic Fest.
Mm, like, you said the word that should not be said. They're Grand Prix.
Yeah, I agree. But I just, and so, and this is another reason why, okay, so you took the money from these coverage events, and apparently you're going to put it into Arena. Hopefully, then, that means, like, I think that's what a lot of people are going to be looking for in late March is this Mythic Invitational. You better have some production value. You better have some really spot-on commentary. Mm-hmm. You need to bring your A game to this because you're trying to show yourself as a real esport. You look over, you know, Overwatch and Hearthstone and say, we could do that.
Now, something,
if you're going to do that, you better spend the freaking money.
Now, something that I want to say that I read this, and I can't find it now, but I think somebody asked Wizards basically saying, does this mean you're taking money from broadcasting it and funneling it towards other things, and that's why there's no coverage for GPs? And I guess their short answer was no. they actually are getting some extra money for this, or there's some way that they did their budget where there wasn't going to be any cuts. It's just right now they're reorganizing and they haven't quite figured out the whole picture, which on the one hand as a decent enough answer. On the other hand, you guys announced this in like what, September, October?
Exactly.
We're now in the beginning of February. We got this thing coming next month and you still haven't figured out what you're doing for coverage.
Exactly.
Figure it out, guys. That
freaks me out a little.
Because you guys are on the clock now because the season technically started, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So they got to figure out what they're doing. And I'm really, really, like you said, I'm hopeful, cautiously optimistic that the Mythic Invitational is going to be amazing. It's going to look great. It's going to sound great. There's going to be no, you know, technical glitches or snafus. And it's going to kick off the next great era of competitive Magic. But there's also that chance that Wizards just kicks themselves in the face like they always do somehow.
Grasp defeat from the jaws of victory. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, here's another thing to think about, too. And, before the Mythic Invitational, I really wonder this. I also read somewhere this past week or the week before. Again, we were off, too. There is talk of bannings now of they're going to, and I'm not sure I agree with this because I think taking standard and segmenting it further is a bad idea. There's talk of standard of bannings for arena and bannings for tabletop that are separate.
Well, like, that makes sense because they're going to be two different formats.
Right. And I get that. And it's mostly arena's mostly BO1. In that case, yeah, Nexus gone. They will absolutely, because they'll cut it and maybe even wreck. But I doubt they'll do rec yet, but Nexus will be gone, and then they'll pick a random one in red. Probably, if they were going to do anything, Skewer the Critics, or maybe even Chain Whirler.
No.
Something. They'll choose something to kind of, because really, you know, Nexus is anti-mono red. And you got to do, if you're going to ban Nexus, you're going to make mono red become super over OP really quickly, you know? And yeah. So I would think they'd have to do something like Skewer the Critics.
Well, I mean,
I don't know how I feel about it though.
You'd have to look, they don't have the information on Goldfish. This is where I get a lot of my information from. Okay. They have a, something you can click that shows the format staples. So it shows the most played cards, what percentage of decks they show up in.
Right.
For paper, they don't have one for arena, but for paper Magic, the most played cards in standard, I mean, you look at the top 10 of both of them, Nexus isn't there.
Right.
Nexus is
arena,
though.
It is an arena. Yeah, I mean, I'm no
going to see if I can find Nexus of Fate. And it's not even in the top 50.
Right.
But so again, I think Nexus is fine as far as bannings are concerned.
Well, I when I say banning, I'm saying now if they're separating standard to a banning inside standard and banning inside arena, mm-hmm. I'm saying in arena you will see Nexus get nailed.
I'm still skeptical about that because I've run into plenty of games where it doesn't work, and I think again that Wilderness Reclamation is the engine that makes that deck tick now because there's. And right now there's so many answers to the enchantments that, you know, because if you're playing against Sultai Midrange, they got Vivian Reed, they got Vraska, they'll have, hell, even Naturalize out of the sideboard or Assassin's Trophy. You know, there's plenty of ways to deal with it. Mono Red just usually, you know, if they get a decent enough draw, they flat out kill you before you have a chance to go off.
Yes and no. But I mean, it's if you can Root Snare and stuff, I mean, if they're doing Skewer the Critics, yeah. But I would sooner see them get rid of Nexus because it's also, it's not just what it's doing in the meta in the arena and the metagame. It's also the easy target. It's the KCI. You know, well, what? You could have got rid of Mox Opal and nobody, people would have been up in arms, but everybody would have understood. Mm-hmm. You got rid of KCI because part of why you chose KCI in that deck was, it was really the only deck where KCI was running Mox Opals in a bunch of decks. I think Reclamation, somebody's going to figure out how to use it. And I think once that happens, you can't get rid of it right away. Reclamation has the opportunity to be a card that's going to impact other decks. And Nexus only impacts Nexus decks. You want to hobble Nexus, you take Nexus.
The biggest problem I have with that is that the results simply aren't there. The results simply aren't there. If you think about results as far as what people are playing and what they're having success with, even right. in Arena Standard, you know, Nexus is still not even one of the top played decks.
Well, right now, Ban Turbo Fox sitting at like number 11.
Yeah, so which
I get that.
The results aren't
considered top 10.
Yeah, but it's not a dominant force in the metagame. It's not even warping the metagame. It's something you have to be aware of, and right. you might have to have a couple of tools against it, but it's not one of those decks where it's like, oh my God, if I can't beat Nexus, I'm not going to go anywhere in this tournament. It's still, like I said, it's the boogeyman, because the potential is so astronomically high for the power level of this deck to go off the charts, because right. it's a deck that can essentially have infinite mana, which is something that we thought Wizards would never do again. Whoops, they did it at Uncommon. Nice job, Wizards. But I don't see them doing it just for the simple fact that like I said the last podcast, it revolves around a card that you can't normally get.
Right.
Even in arena
you can. It's wild card.
It's a wild card, yeah. But even still, it's not an automatic. You have to get a wild card to do it. And are you going to waste four mythic wild cards? Because those aren't easy to come by either.
True. And in the
event that they ban it, what do they do with the people who were deemed wild cards to get those cards? Do they give them fresh wild cards? Probably not.
Well, I redeemed wild cards to get Ferocidon before it got banned.
Did you get anything back for it?
No, they won't do that. But I have a feeling it's just, I think with the way that Wizards was the one that put out that press release about, hey, we're going to maintain a separate banning list for Arena and Standard. It's like, that to me seems to give them the option to get rid of Nexus without getting rid of it in paper. Because again, it was a buy a box promo. Like, I think they're afraid to get rid of it and say, people are like, well, I spent $400 buying boxes, which is BS. You spent $100 and then you went and bought three more for $25. Yeah. Like, you know, it just, I could see them saying, we're going to ban it in Arena. And like I said, they'll ban something else in Mono Red to make it fair. And then they'll keep it in paper and they'll be like, well, let's see how the metagame shifts after that. And Bant Nexus will die out and Guild Gates will probably rise higher. But it's just a thought. Again, what the reason I asked was, it's like having an Arena and paper tabletop separate ban list. I really don't know how I feel about that. I feel like you're taking the Standard game, which Arena was supposed to be a way to play Standard. Really? Mm-hmm. And you're taking it now and you're going to segment it further.
Yeah. And it's based on the fact that according to their numbers, which I think are heavily skewed and they're not doing it the right way, right. something like 70% of the games being played are best of one, even though that's probably because half people who play Arena don't even know best of three existed until about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And didn't know how to play it. And BO3, here's the thing, you know, it's not on mobile yet. I can get behind that and be like, BO1 is definitely getting played more because it's hard to play BO3. Well, to be blunt, taking a poop, you know, but it's easy enough to sit there. And I'm going to be honest. I've taken the laptop in the bathroom once or twice. I'm like, yeah, I'm in the middle of a game, but you know,
I didn't need that.
So, I mean, it just definitely, I think we need to take a look at that sort of stuff. I mean, and it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. I mean, I think next week we'll probably have some more to talk about as far as, you know, obviously I'll have some definite stuff to talk about for, you know, this. But I think that's going to end our end step, and I think we just ought to start wrapping things up. So let's
go. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go out on a limb real quick and just make my prediction. They said they're going to do separate ban lists. Their first banned and restricted announcement for the new two new formats, nothing.
You may not be wrong.
Nothing.
You may not be wrong. The only thing I can think of is that they want to shake up the Mythic Invitational, or they don't. They may not want to. They may want it because they've brought in these 24 streamers who not only do Magic but Hearthstone and all that, they may want to be like, hey, listen, you know, if it was just the 32 playing against maybe the top 32 of Arena, okay, yeah, I could see them banning it going, hee, let's screw with them. Because they're bringing in 24, you know, not pros, and then 8 really not pros, I can kind of see them not banning something either. I do think
you don't want to invalidate all the potential weeks or days or whatever of testing to be like, oh, well, this entire archetype is now dead.
then again, we are talking Wizards.
We are talking Wizards. So grain of salt.
Grain of salt. Yes. But I mean, yeah. But you know what? Let's go ahead and, like I said, we're going to go into end step. I'll play it again. Okay, so next week we'll be recording again. Maybe we'll try to record this weekend so we get a few. Definitely, I mean, obviously we'll have some stuff to talk about as far as, you know, I'm going to go play Friday night. I mean, you know what? Why don't you come up with some topics? I've been doing the heavy lifting on this the last few weeks.
Awkward silence.
Never mind. Yeah, no. I might do it again. But, I mean, I think we could definitely start looking at you know, maybe chase cards. Like, I mean, I got really lucky with Krasis, but there may be other cards out there that, especially more towards rotation, once you see Teferi rotate out, I'd love to see some of the stuff maybe people want to get in on a little cheaper now, you know, and
I don't want to go into the speculation game. I think if I was going to add any topics, I'll probably add more basic gameplay elements, like, you know, how do you do this? How do you do that? Things like that. Instructional. Yeah.
You know, you could always send us an email, podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com, to ask us questions. Yes. Our Ask Aramis section. I'll make a bumper and everything.
Yeah. I don't mind entering the questions. I'm really looking forward to the first one that we get and be like, how I untap lands. You turn them so they're not sideways anymore.
What does tapping mean? I love reading Hearthstone players, and they're like, why is a mana just in its own pile? Like I can get mana screwed. And I'm like, yeah. That's yep. What happens.
That's one of the good and bad things about Magic, is that sometimes the game says no, you're not playing today.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I think they've kind of been fixing some of that. Like,
you can't get around the whole I drew two lands the entire game.
Yeah, it happens occasionally, but I have kept two land hands and then drawn a land three or four. So I mean, it's kind of a test, because again, that was our old rule of thumb. And again, we can talk about that next week. So, all right. But let's back on out of here, because we're at about, you know, a little bit over tonight. Again, thank you for your patience, guys, letting us take a week off. You know, I'm hoping not to get that sick again for a while.
Get good at being healthy.
Yeah, exactly. So go to your local game shop this weekend. Go play some Magic. Go play some paper. Aramis, you got any final thoughts?
Just keep playing, you know, keep practicing, keep getting better, keep absorbing the content, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Yes, we are on Twitch. You can find us at Planestalkers Podcast. We will start streaming a little more regularly, and at some point I'll publish maybe a schedule. It's hard because I've been researching, like, how to grow the podcast and the Twitch, and they're like, you should play for 4 hours. I'm like, 4 hours? Oh, my. 4 hours? Like, that's what it takes?
Yeah. Yeah, so we got some work to do.
No, but we'll be hobbyists when it comes to Twitch. Yeah. I mean, listen, I am a 45-year-old man who's getting married in July with 3 kids and a very demanding fiance. Yeah.
See, I'm looking up the Wikipedia for excuses. No, I'm kidding.
Right. But I mean, we'll put up some sort of schedule. We'll at least get a couple hours a weekend and playing each other, but also playing ourselves. And I'm going to Twitch a little bit more now that I've got my office back. I mean, it's hard because I got this great new gaming computer and it's amazing and it's awesome. And Wendy loves it. And so I don't want to sit here. Womp, womp. So I end up sitting on my laptop with the worst camera and it doesn't have any of my overlays or anything. I'm like, how the hell do I Twitch with this? But I can't exactly kick her off. So it's like, I need my own office. So anyway, we'll be back next week, guys. We might try to record this weekend, get a couple episodes in or whatever, back them up. But even if not, we'll be back next week. You know, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you enjoyed the Facebook Live. We'll probably be doing it this way for a while. For Aramis Perez, I'm Will Benson. Thanks for listening, watching, and being here. We'll see you next week. Take care. And you can hit stop.